Ukraine marks a quarter century of independence as Russia turns up the heat. And the Kremlin spins Russia's fourth place finish in the Olympic medals table as a moral victory. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFARL, and joining me in the studio is senior RFARL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. So on Wednesday, Ukraine marks 25 years of independence, and this milestone will be observed amid jitters that Russia was preparing an all-out invasion, something both President Petro Poroshenko and Odessa Governor Mikhail Saakashvili warned of in recent days. The OSCE says the number of Russian heavy weapons on the border has doubled in the past week, and multiple rocket systems are being used against Ukrainian positions in the Donetsk Oblast. When I think about this, it's not really an accident, I don't think, the timing of all of this coming around Ukrainian Independence Day. For me, the very idea of Ukrainian independence must be offensive to Vladimir Putin. Ukraine has kind of created an alternative model. It's essentially the path not taken by Russia, a country where you have genuine competitive elections, a country where you have a strong civil society. So I don't think this is an accident. But what do you think we're seeing, Steve? Is Putin just positioning himself for getting the solution with Minsk that he wants, or is Minsk dead, and is the war about to start up again in earnest?
Certainly he's positioning himself. Despite everything, it would be hard. It's hard for me, at least, to imagine kind of an all-out war with a full-scale Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there's an element, or the timing, as you say, is linked to Independence Day. I think, you know, as Putin once said, Ukraine isn't really a country. I think a couple of things, that the allegation about infiltration or terrorist attack in Crimea by Russia and Putin, and also this kind of buildup and increase in fighting in eastern Ukraine. I think they're both sort of meant to put pressure on Kiev. And one thing with Crimea is a way for Russia to sort of solidify the impression that, look, these people came in and are trying to essentially invade Crimea. So they're trying to solidify, I think Russia's
solidify
trying to solidify
their claims on a
right,
next
the
Crimea.
Perception that it's, or the claim that it is Russian. And so, I mean, that's one thing. And I think together with the, and Putin's statement that, he went back to the kind of junta statement of, you know,
right,
these people who grab power and still hold it in Kiev. You know, he's trying to discredit the government in Kiev. I think these things with Crimea and also what's happening in eastern Ukraine are part of a way for Putin to warn, well, your independence, you know, is contingent on us, and we, you know, can consider taking it away. And I mean, in eastern Ukraine, I think he is, as you say, trying to position himself, put pressure on Kiev, put pressure on the West to influence Kiev, and kind of he's trying to blame Kiev for the failure so far of the Minsk agreements, and kind of create, you know, issue a warning that look, you know, we're vremeni rezinovaya, as they say, that, you know, if Kiev does not implement Minsk as we see it, you know, we may take other action. So I think that's a warning.
But they've gone down this path before. And one of the things that caught my eye immediately was that Putin decided that we're not going to have the Normandy format meeting. But yet, the G20 is coming up next month in China. Putin, no doubt, will have conversations with Angela Merkel, with Francois Hollande, with Barack Obama about Ukraine. So it'll be a de facto
right,
Normandy format. The talks will go on. And again, they're making another push. But we've seen this movie before, and nobody's buying the Russian version of this, that Ukraine's not implementing Minsk, and that the West should put pressure on Kyiv to basically give Moscow everything it wants. In the Donbass, we haven't seen any capitulation on that, or even any sense that the West buys Moscow's line on that, buys their premise. Why do we think it'd be any different this time? Is the buildup on the border, the uptick in fighting in Donbass, combined with these claims of a terrorist plot in Crimea that nobody else believes, Why do they think it's going to be any different this time, one has to wonder?
No, that's a good question, absolutely. But I think a good point about you know, there will be sort of a de facto, you know, I hate the phrase, but Normandy format. So that will give Russia the ability to, you know, to talk to France and Germany about it without, but at the same time say, look, Ukraine's not being cooperative enough. We can't really have this meeting. So, you know, but yeah, it's a good question. You know, is Russia trying to sort of wear the West down?
Yeah.
What's happening there?
That's what I've long thought they've been trying to do. And it's not worked so far, but one has to wonder if it will begin working at some point. At the very least, Ukraine celebrating a milestone date this week, 25 years of independence, is going to be overshadowed by all of this. And so at the very least, Russia will have accomplished that. On another topic, Russia finished in fourth place in the medals table in Rio behind the United States, Great Britain, and China. Russia's medal haul included just 19 golds and 56 medals overall. With its team decimated by the doping scandal, it was Russia's worst Olympic performance in recent memory since the Summer Olympics in Stockholm in 1912, as a matter of fact. And yet, Steve, as you correctly predicted, the Kremlin appears to be spinning it as a moral victory. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not a very difficult prediction to make. We're seeing sort of almost the usual suspects spinning it as a victory, both in terms of, well, against the odds, in terms of the actual medal count, and also as a moral victory against the U.S., or as Vladimir Markin put it, the Anglo-Saxon. So he's making a play on Anglo-Saxon. But we have Alexei Pushkov, the chairman of the International Affairs Committee in the Duma, saying that Russia, despite what he called monstrous pressure, showed that it's not winning because of doping. And then you have Markin, who's the spokesman. What better person to speak about the Olympics than the spokesman of what's essentially the Russian equivalent of the FBI?
The Investigative Committee.
The Investigative Committee. And has a lengthy comment about how he's basically comparing it with Napoleon in 1812, and saying essentially that he even seems to be implicating Hillary Clinton as if this is a plot, but basically talking about intense pressure on Russia, essentially an Anglo-American plot to deprive Russia of what he called, I think, its rightful medals. And he's claiming that it's kind of an effort to reward other Western countries by enabling them to get medals that belong rightfully to Russia. And that this won't work. So, you know, I believe he called it a full moral defeat for the United States. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're seeing. And so, they're spinning it as kind of as a victory.
I also noticed the Russian media is making a lot of noise about Ukraine's allegedly poor performance.
That's right. Yeah, well. That was one of the things that State TV focused on, was Ukraine also did not do well.
So, well, it's just as you predicted. So credit where credit's due. They're claiming to be, as you put it, the victim and the victor simultaneously, which is how they like to spin it. Well, that's all you have time for today, so we'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me in the studio has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.